Welcoming back to Big Show Friday is our great friend, and he's convalescing, but he's back in the arena as well. It's Chuck Crabb, ladies and gentlemen. Chuck, good morning. How are you?
Michael, good morning. Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been. And last time we spoke to you, I don't even think, were we talking about the WNIT action and activity? I don't even think that was the case.
No. I think we talked last before I went to Geneva, Ohio for Big Ten Indoor Track. And so it's been, what, 5 weeks?
Yeah.
6 weeks maybe?
It has been. And you saw some great performances in Geneva. Since then, we've seen some great performances in the pool. But we're going to start at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall because Terry Morin's Hoosiers are scoring points for fun. They're playing great defense. And, Chuck, this is the first time ever WNIT final.
Yeah. There's something special, Mike, when you start thinking about a national final championship on your home campus. And I really have going back through mind and thinking here, obviously, Doc and Hobie won, I believe, their second NCAA swimming and diving championship in 1969 at Royer Pool. And then Coach Yegley with the 88, the third championship, which should have been four, but we won't go there on that discussion, Michael. But Seattle, thank you. but that 1-0 victory over Howard. And now we come up with this WNIT and boy, what great excitement. I mean, the competition we've had at Simon Scott Assembly Hall and the crowds that have just grown game after game after game, and the five games we played, and just shy of 8,000 the other night, and oh my, it was outstanding. I'm getting text from Inman and Pillar up in the stands. They're reviewing things and texting me notes about.
Well, Pillar's not used to having such a bad seat like that. He's used to sitting down where you sit.
Yeah. Put the striped shirt on and come join. But
let's talk about that crowd, Chuck, because you came back. You've obviously been convalescing, doing the rehab after your hip replacement. And then all of a sudden you walk into an arena and there's 5,000 people just raring to go. Why do you think this crowd has embraced this team so well over the last few weeks?
Well, the personalities that we have and the way that we've gone out and promoted and made the student-athletes available in the community. I mean, families have always been the hallmark of support for Indiana women's basketball, and they have come out very, very regularly, and it keeps growing, and it's exciting. And now friends bring friends. I mean, there are people that when you see their Facebook and their Instagrams and everything else, all the social media, I mean, they're inviting people to come. And obviously, we've had a tremendous outreach program going into the elementary schools, and it just has manifested itself, and it's so exciting. It really is.
Some teams react differently when they're in different situations, i.e., big house, big crowd, maybe they feel some pressure. You've sat at the bench and announced 74-50, 74-54, 73-51, 81-66, and 71-50. It's blowout city, five in a row.
Well, it has been. You know, this team has an ability. I mean, they play equal and even, and then all of a sudden there's a three-point basket by Amanda Cahill, or a three-point basket by Tyra Buss, or maybe a two-pointer by Ben Dudiani or Jalen Penn, and then all of a sudden, two-point lead becomes 3 points, becomes six, becomes nine, becomes 12, and they just keep building. And you know, Terry has talked often in her press conferences, it goes back to the defense of the, you know, our offense is coming from our defense. The pressure that we're putting on the other teams and getting the loose balls, the 50-50s, and down the court and off we go. And, you know, there's an excellent pace we're playing. Terry, the three-letter word run, that's a big word in her vocabulary. Run, run, run. You know, she wants to get things out there and get it moving. And then at the same time, with the tight ball player like a Tyree is, when they're doing the weave out top and the ball's going back and forth trying to find that opening, it might get down inside of 10 seconds. And then Tyree just has an uncanny ability to work the clock. And so with a fraction of a second, she puts it up. You know, the LED lights go off and the horn sounds for the shot clock running out and the ball drops through the net. Can't beat that, Mike.
You can't.
You deny the opponent the time to have to work the ball themselves.
And their defense has been fantastic. Those numbers I've given on the backside of those winning scores, not a lot of points there. And that's with a starting five, Chuck. You don't make too many substitution announcements for the Cream and Crimson.
No, you know, Lindsay Marchese and Kiana Worthen and Bree Wickware, those are about the three names that I think people hear me say. Now, of course, Marchese, a freshman, she's come in and spelled Kim Royster, and that's important because some of our games here of recent have been physical and they've been tough inside, and Kim's had some fouls on her, and Amanda's had a couple of times with some fouls, and so Lindsay's played valuable, extremely valuable minutes, and that just goes a long way. But our scoring the other evening in the last WNIT game, five starters, five scored, and that was it.
71 total points. Chuck Crabb's our guest this morning. He is the voice at Assembly Hall, Simon Scott Assembly Hall, and has been forever and part of Big Show Friday. The main question I've gotten this week, Chuck, is how do you get to host the WNIT final? I'm not saying you have to tell us how all the sausage is made, but you knew right after the game, because you made the announcement to the crowd, hey, be back on Saturday at 3 p.m. Just take us through that process a little bit so people can understand why the championship game is going to be right here in Bloomington.
Well, I think the credit there is due to Fred Glass, our athletics director, vice president, and the philosophy he has. He carries forward what I've grown up with in the 42 years I've been in the department. You want to have the chance for your team to win, and they win best when they're at home. And he's willing to take some risks and put some money out there to help for bid opportunities. We've done that previously. The Women's NIT is an NCAA-sanctioned event, but it's owned by an outside entity, a travel agency of all groups. And they have policies about we take a percentage of the gate. And so you simply look at that, which we get into with the NCAA also in soccer and baseball and any of those sports. And, you know, you... I hate to use the phrase, you roll the dice and see where it goes. And with that, we have numbers that we bid every round and have it in place. And so there is a WNIT representative on site who's in text and phone conversations with their main office back in Fort Collins, Colorado. And they know where they stand and they know what's being what the attendance is at the other sites. And so we knew coming in, Virginia Tech had crowds maybe around 2,000. West Virginia was about the same. We felt very good that were we to win, as we did, we would have a great opportunity to host. And it all played out. And I kind of got choked up on those words, Michael, just from the emotion of thinking, boy, there's another chance to see these great student athletes before us, and with 7,800, maybe I had a couple of pauses of phrases there just to heighten the anticipation. And the Hokies are, what would be the verb that I would use? And when I said coming to Bloomington, the place went nuts, Oh, boy.
And that's an exciting time because, as you mentioned, a lot of those factors have to fall into place. It's not as easy as just writing the biggest check. They do want to keep it on the up and up so other teams have a chance. But Indiana put their money where their mouth is. They put it in the seats. 10,002 or something like that is the largest crowd ever at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. I would for women's basketball, I suggest you were there in 2005. Was that a beat cancer game or something like that?
Yeah, we had those games certainly in the early part of this century, and I mean they were good nights. But with those, you know, you spoke a few moments ago, Mike, about the effort that goes into getting those people there, and the team then not maybe translating that onto the court. We haven't had to worry about that with this year's team. They've been extremely relaxed and composed, and whatever they did during the week, going out, working the community,
recruiting,
they were able to keep in mind their basketball game and not lose sight of it.
Chuck Crabb's our guest this morning. He'll be behind the microphone tomorrow. The Simon Scott Assembly Hall, 3 o'clock, the WNIT Finals. Indiana Hoosiers and the Virginia Tech Hokies from the ACC. Winner take all, home court advantage. Tickets are $12 for adults, $6 for youth, and that's 18 and under. Students, thanks to Uncle Fred, they'll get in free with a valid ID. What time should I get there to get – I probably should buy my tickets ahead of time. What time are the doors going to open for this general admission festival seating? That's the key for this tomorrow.
General admission, yeah. A lot of people haven't been in the same seats that they enjoyed through the regular season, but that, you know, that's what happens with general admission. We'll open at 1:30, so 90 minutes out is our standard policy, and open the doors at 1:30 and there'll be plenty of things happening in the arena. You know, with the crowds, we've had the varsity shop doing unbelievable business. The concessions and foods operation has multiple stands open on the east and west mains and the north court level. So once you get your seat spotted, you know, we have concessions, refreshments. We have, if you need T-shirts, if you need hats, if you need something to celebrate Indiana athletics, it's available for sale, and it's great atmospheres, and people are walking around talking and visiting and sharing, and they're seeing some great videos up on the screen and watching the team warming up. And then, of course, you know, what's so great about Indiana women's basketball, following any game, after we have the singing and the playing of the alma mater, then the team's available for autographs and visiting with fans.
That
and,
might be a little different tomorrow around 5:15 if the ball bounces the correct way. There could be some ladders and some scissors and some confetti and all the other fun stuff that goes with that. So the best advice we've been giving folks, Chuck, all week is buy your tickets online so you don't have to stand in line, but you will have to stand in line to get in the doors if you want a premium seat. I don't want to dismiss the rest of the weekend. A final in any NCAA competition is the main story, and that's the truth. Baseball goes today, and we also have a big water polo match. Let's talk about Ryan Castle. This is the big one on his schedule every year.
Well, it sure is. Well, it's Michigan coming in. What are they, like number 9 or
something? Yeah, and we're 11 or 12, so it's always that. It's the battle, as always, for the conference championship, it seems like.
Well, here's what you do. You know, you structure your Saturday around the fact that 11 a.m. it's water polo with Councilman Billingsley Aquatics, Indiana versus Michigan. That's every bit of what Indiana Purdue or Indiana Kentucky, if it were to be. It's excitement. It's free. That's the great thing. It's free. So you've got that at 11 a.m. At 1 p.m. on Saturday, we hope, will be the third game in the baseball series of Indiana and Butler. Then doors opening at Simon Scott Assembly Hall, 1:30 for a 3 p.m. game of Indiana and Virginia Tech. You just took care of your, you know, go to breakfast, enjoy that, and we've got your Saturday covered.
And you're lined up and ready to go, that's for sure. So plenty of exciting things happening. The women's game for our out-of-town friends will be televised. Chuck, who's going to handle the production?
We have CBS Sports Cable that will be here, and looking forward to that. A good friend, Thad Anderson, will be coming back, and he'll be the play-by-play announcer for that game, and it'll be there on television. They come in late afternoon today, park their truck, do the setup on Saturday, and it'll be fun having television there, live television over a cable system, and of course, everybody with their apps, they can pick it up that way. And
that's right.
I get lost in all of our transmission means, Michael, but everybody will have the opportunity to be part of a historic weekend.
That's right. So our out-of-town friends can watch along as well. CBS Sports Network, just put it in your Google bar. It pops right up. You can watch all kinds of stuff on there. And I think it's on your if you have the sports package on perhaps your cable or satellite program, that should come in with it as well. Obviously, I was watching some NCAA tournament replay games on there yesterday, making sure
I stumbled onto those last season.
it was Michigan and Houston, and you didn't want to watch that game until the final seconds on all of that. Well, your campus has taken on almost an inch and a half of rain. How busy has Mr. Mellencamp Center been this week?
Well, we haven't had any downtime. There's no question about that. If any of our teams, you know, both soccers are wanting to protect grass surfaces and get the opportunity to practice. They've made use of it. Softball's been in there, baseball.
How about softball? I don't mean to interrupt you, but what a great start for Shonda Stanton in league play last weekend. 3-0 against 18th-ranked Ohio State.
Yeah, and that was a big one. You know, and she has three players come out as Big Ten Players of the Week, and I'm not so sure if Trainer didn't get some honor with maybe National Pitcher of the Week.
I saw one of those publications gave her some props. Absolutely. She had a beautiful weekend. So, great recognition.
You know, softball's coming along. Baseball, what are we? Number 11 ranked in one poll. And we have a 2 p.m. rescheduled game today. So it's Indiana and Butler, hopefully a doubleheader. And Mike, from what you're giving me, it sounds like that could be the only set of two baseball games we have any opportunity for this weekend, but the artificial surface at Bart Kaufman will help us get that play in, we hope. And so two games today with baseball, 2:00, and then 45 minutes after the first game for the second game pitch, and then perhaps on Saturday at 1 p.m., 1:05 p.m., so we'll just keep our fingers crossed.
Exactly right.
So, we've also got women's tennis. We can't forget them.
Romero!
Romero this weekend's got Iowa coming in on Saturday, and then on Sunday Nebraska will be here. So we don't lack for activity when we have things going, but that's an 11:00 start. And if tennis has moisture outside, they go inside the indoor tennis complex and play there. Again, both matches, I believe, 11 a.m., so look to iuhoosiers.com for all the information you need on Indiana scheduling, and it's a great way to follow along, and like so many people have said, it's a great day to be a Hoosier.
Absolutely right. And also, if you have baseball tickets from yesterday, they'll anytime there's a baseball game, they will let you trade those in. Don't think you're stuck with them. You can bring them to any home game for that. So that's very helpful, especially with the weather pattern, Chuck, that we have this time of year. It's not much fun. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Get some rest and get those golden pipes ready to go, and get your perhaps championship script prepared. I like the sound of that. Thanks, buddy. We'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye, Michael.
Chuck Crabb, he is the voice of the Hoosiers at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall and knower of all things.